just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
I went to the library once.
Wow, for a book.
No.
No, I'm sorry, obviously not a book. My mistake.
I have been to the library many times, but I remember discovering you could rent albums. This is great. So one of the first albums I ever rented was Simon and Garfunkel.
Which one?
Whatever one that had this one on it.
Something Street Bridge, I think it was.
It's not that important.
It is.
My head is still spinning from the last two conversations. We just had some really interesting stuff. It's so putting together a show, I like to have every show, at least one person has a little bit of name cred, right? Celebrity or some author, blah, blah, blah. And our celebrity today is Krista Hesselink. She is the founder of Soul Play. Slow down, you move too fast. Wake up, love well. That's their slogan. Slow down, wake up, love well. What is your soul saying to you? Not sure? Well, let us help you listen. Explore and choose a best fit experience now. Retreats, workshops, pilgrimage, yoga, spiritual direction, personal coaching. Soul Play offers creative experiences, curated resources. That makes you sound like you sourced your marijuana from a... Never mind. And personal support to help individuals and groups dig deeper, listen well, and journey towards loving themselves, others, God, and our world well. So, what do you need to slow down is the question that is asked on this website. And that's my first question for Krista. Because I know Krista a little bit. We've had some Camino conversations.
Yes.
Because Krista has walked the Camino. How many times?
Well, I walked the entire thing once and half of it once. So I've been in Spain twice to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your Enneagram baggage? Do you know? You strike me as a one.
No, I lead with a two. I've been taught to say you lead with it. You're not your number.
Whatever.
You know, you lead. Yeah. So I lead with a two.
Okay.
Yep.
So you are a helper.
Uh-huh.
Or whatever terms they
want
to put on. But you just seem so driven. Like when I talk to you, first of all, it's hard to get a hold of you. Number one. Number
you know
two.
Why? Because I don't answer my phone every time it rings.
Even if it's Drew? Don't you have calls
voice,
to play?
I don't know if
I always answer.
I don't
when
know
Drew
who's
calls
calling because I just don't have the ringer on.
Are you okay, Napoleon? No, I know you're busy and I know you're passionate. I know you're focused. There are things about you that I wish I was more like.
Oh, wow.
Which is
pretty?
Which is what? Yeah. Hair.
Fashion sense.
And the fact that you are so intentional about this spiritual stuff, I think it intrigues me and intimidates me.
Yes.
And that's all the time we have.
Thanks for having me on. Yeah.
Do you freak people out because you're like spiritual?
There is a little.
You have a cape and a mask.
Well, see, no, and that's my problem is I do care about these things, and I have for a long time, and there's an intensity to it that I wish it didn't feel so intense to me.
Right.
And I definitely don't wish it would feel intense to other people.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've cared about these things since I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's also my baggage, right? Like I want to be able to help
people. Everybody. Oh my goodness.
So I'm kind of. Yeah, I care about these things, and it's not meant to intimidate anybody.
No. I first met you, I think it was through Meeting House stuff,
because
you were on staff there for a little bit, right?
Uh-huh.
How long?
Oh, I was on staff a total of 8 years.
That's pretty long.
It is, but I was like, I was on staff, then I went to World Vision for a while, and then I was on staff again. So it was 8 in total, but not consecutive.
Okay. Did you burn out and just start like some wild coke habit or something?
No,
like what happened?
Nothing
it was
like
drama.
That.
Drama.
No drama. No drama. It's been like 4.5 years since I've worked at the Meeting House. It's been quite a long time.
So were you like OG, one of the original ones?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
How long has it been around? I thought.
Okay, can you stop talking in that range?
Sorry.
So,
Tim did laundry yesterday for the first time.
Did what?
Laundry. A little starch in my underwear.
I actually walked the Camino in 2014, and I had a couple of questions that were in my mind, but one of the questions was, what will be my next role at the meeting house on staff because I was wrapping up my specifics role, not intending to move on. And when I walked the 32 days, it really became clear. It was like, oh, I need to, it's not actually what my next role is. It's be done. So I came back.
So the Camino helped you quit the meeting house?
Yeah, that was a part of the process for me. I didn't start the Camino thinking that when I finished, I knew I would be wrapping up. But I really felt like it was time for me to be done. Hmm. And the only thing I really knew at that point was finish the book that I had started to write.
Tell us about that book.
Well, so this is a long time ago that I started writing this book, but it came out 3 years ago. So
it's been 3 years.
Yeah. It's called Life's Great Dare.
And what's Life's Great Dare, Krista?
It's been a long time since I've talked about the book, actually. But
do you remember?
Well, a little bit. I mean, when you write a book, you write years before it comes out.
Yeah.
And so it's been a long time since I've
Yeah, it's like
been,
when actors are being interviewed about the movie they did 3 years ago.
Sure. But I never aspired to be a writer or write a book, but I was just trying to capture my life story. And then as I started writing it, I realized, oh, there's something more here.
Right.
And then it turned into a book. And
what was it about?
Transformation, essentially. So,
like Bruce Jenner?
No, not like that. Although Bruce Jenner probably would have to think about some of these things. So mm-hmm. The idea of transformation, you have to surrender.
Your parts, yes.
Walk the Camino in high heels.
You have to become
now.
Vulnerable.
Right.
When you want something new to be born, something has to die. This idea of transformation. Mm-hmm. And then it always leads to more love, generally, hopefully.
Hmm. Speaking of love, are you in love?
What do you mean?
Are you in a relationship?
I'm not right now, no.
No.
Yeah.
I didn't warn you I was going to go there. I didn't know I was going to go here. But I just wonder about people with a spiritual intensity. I'll give that to you.
Sure.
You have a spiritual intensity.
Sure.
Sometimes people don't know how to handle that. We talked about that earlier. And I just wonder, has Jesus gotten in the way of love?
In terms of my romantic relationships?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay. If there's nothing there, don't make something up.
Yeah,
no.
Has Jesus gotten in the way?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Oops. No.
I mean, not necessarily Jesus, but sometimes serving Jesus. I think sometimes.
You know what I mean.
Yeah. No,
that's
think
what
they
I'm
are
saying.
Different, though.
Because Paul, didn't he go on about, hey, you can get a lot more done for God if you're not married, so try not to be married, but if you'd like to get married,
well,
get married. Or something like that.
Yeah, I've never felt, like, called to being single. So it hasn't been, like, that sort of deal where I've been, like, oh, I'm going to be single for ministry purposes,
right,
or something like
right.
that. No, never.
I did wonder about that.
No.
Okay.
No, and I do think people certainly feel a sense of call to that, but
yeah.
I have never felt that.
Is this a good time to give out your phone number?
She doesn't answer the phone, so
live she doesn't have
I don't.
To be bothered.
I definitely don't answer the phone.
Have you seen the website Soul Pancake?
I think I have actually once before.
Right.
When you mention it, it
yeah.
rings a bell, but I wouldn't actually know exactly.
That's the guy from the office that we had on the show, Dwight. What's his name again? The actor?
Rain Wilson.
Rain Wilson, is that his name?
Is Soul Pancake the website with Kid President?
Yes.
Yeah, I have. It's
yeah.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've looked at it, but it's awesome.
So you're my new Soul Pancake.
Oh.
No, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. All I'm saying is that your website sounds similar.
Yeah.
So soulplay.ca.
Uh-huh.
Ideally, who were you thinking about when you were putting this together?
It's a good question. So it's relatively new. So I've been trying to actually see if what I was thinking was actually going to be true.
Yeah.
So in my thinking, it was three very different groups of people, which is probably like a marketing 101 mistake, but whatever. I was like, I'm just doing what I think is right
yeah.
for myself
right
now. So, first group of people who are, you know, really deeply committed to their faith in God. And because my network and experience and own tribe is Christians, that's what I'm sort of thinking in mind. People who are really, really deeply committed to Jesus, but are somehow finding that they're not getting what they need or finding places to keep growing in their maybe local church context.
Mm-hmm.
So they sort of hit the ceiling, and they're looking maybe for something a little bit more experiential or contemplative. So there's that group. Mm. Then there's the group of people who are really, really not sure what they think anymore about anything. We talk about deconstruction, reconstruction. They're in that zone of like, I believed in something at one point. I'm not sure I believe it in it now.
Yeah. That's anyone under 40.
Exactly. Just sort of like, I'm not really sure what I think. And but I don't want to abandon my soul. And I'm not even sure I'm abandoning God, but I don't know yet.
Yeah, but why would those people want to sign up to your course or your stuff or your thing or your website?
Yeah.
Because you're rah-rah Jesus.
Well, I think if you look at the website, you would feel hopefully welcomed to participate in some of the things that I'm doing, even
yeah,
if you're not sure.
But you're going to want me to...
No, I'm not.
Drink the Kool-Aid, is
yeah.
that what you're saying?
That's the kind of...
Well, then you're not doing what Jesus told you to do then, the other group will say.
Well, yeah, the other group probably will say that.
I love how anomaly-ish you are.
No, I mean, I'm just being honest.
It's not a real word.
So that's the second group. The people who are like, gosh, I don't know what I think. I don't know what I believe. But I like the idea of listening to my soul, whatever that would mean for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third group is people who maybe don't identify with any particular faith, but again, aren't necessarily atheist. They somehow have like a theistic worldview. They feel like when I talk about the soul, I might be talking about God.
Right. So the spiritual but not religious
Yeah,
group?
That. Exactly. So again, this is new days for me, new territory. So I don't really know exactly how this will pan out. But what I am finding is that, in fact, all three of those groups of people have
reached out to you.
Mm-hmm.
So cool.
It is. It is cool. So and you know, the thing I think that's so beautiful is that all three of those groups can party together and have lots of things
in common. Yeah.
And I love the idea of just trying to provide space for people to listen to what's deep within them.
To what?
What's deep within them.
You're a jerk.
And if they actually would not be in concerned with all the trappings, they would just listen. And the truth is, I think a lot of people end up hearing very similar things.
Oh, yeah.
Regardless of what tribe they prescribe to. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
Live in the studio right now with Krista Hesselink. And before Krista came on the show, we were trying to guess the origin of your last name. Is it German?
No.
Okay, that's all I got.
Keep guessing.
It's Austrian.
Japanese?
French.
No.
What is it?
Dutch.
Oh.
My dad was born in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
I love dopeies.
So now that explains your stubbornness.
Oh.
And
wow.
And her height.
And her height, yeah.
Well, I'm 5'8 and a half. I'm not that tall, am I?
I met, it was funny, we called him the Dutchie, this guy on the Camino. And he walked alone a lot because people couldn't stand him.
Oh, really?
He was those stereotypical,
yeah.
Oh, he knew everything about everything.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well.
Is that racist?
I don't know. Racist? Maybe not racist.
I'm not racist, but I hate the Dutch.
Is that Mike Myers?
Yeah, it is. It's from one of the Austin.
We would just say, you know, if you're not Dutch, you're not much.
So,
we get it honestly. I guess that reputation, maybe. I don't know.
It's all good in the hood.
I'm half Dutch. I'm not full Dutch. So.
What's the other half?
Canadian.
What happened to you on the Camino?
Oh, I loved it so much. What happened to me on the Camino?
Because if you're going to invest that much time walking that far, you better have something to tell us when you get back.
Yeah.
That's what I felt when people were, you know, I come back from walking 1,000 kilometers in the Camino. By the way, I chased all sorts of rabbits on that trail. I went down and visited this UNESCO site, and then I went over here, and then I went to the coast afterwards, and then I didn't just go to the coast. I walked up the coast, and then I walked down the coast, and I was...
So you were, like, full on.
Crazy.
Yeah. I just loved the experience. And I went in thinking, well, this is going to be great, but I didn't honestly have any idea what it was going to be like to be... so self-referenced and not others referenced for such a long period of time. So you asked me.
So hard for a two.
So hard for a two. It really.
And Enneagram 2, the helper, for those of you
right,
who don't know.
Right. So it's like my pill of poison is just being others referenced. So to just walk and I was on my own, so I wasn't with anyone in particular. Mm-hmm. Met a lot of amazing people, but it was really just me walking. And so that felt like really new, like a new experience for me. And if you do that for more than a week, so 32 days, I felt really calm and really clear and really confident in who I was, not who other people thought mm-hmm. I was or who I needed to be with and for other people, but just like who I was. And so that was amazing. And to be honest, I felt like God became much more of a mystery to me on the Camino.
An enigma wrapped in an enigma?
Sure. I felt like God was bigger, better, bolder.
Stronger than he was before.
but also more mysterious. Mm-hmm. Like I couldn't sort of wrap my brain and my language around that.
Did you have any epiphanies, or did Jesus show up and walk with you for one of the days, or were you tormented by Satan? And like, we want to know if Steven Spielberg can make a movie out of anything that happened on your Camino walk.
Not really. No. Although I remember thinking, you know what, I'm gonna bring my little New Testament, and every day I'll maybe read a psalm or something. And like,
how'd that work?
Like day three, I was like, yeah, I can't do this.
I'm not carrying this book.
I actually didn't. I just was like, it's too much. It weighs too much.
I know.
And it was like a little thing, but I was like, no, you know what? That's not doing it for me.
Yeah.
And I remember experiencing like how I would have described, you know, hearing God speak in my life. It was just that sort of small knowing voice, and when I was walking, I didn't hear that voice at all. But I didn't feel
abandoned.
No, I didn't feel concerned or abandoned. I actually was like more love, more joy, more peace. I mean, I just didn't know if it was the Spanish wine or what it was.
Ding, ding, ding.
But it was just like this. I just feel so alive. And yet I wasn't experiencing God maybe the same way that I had experienced before. And through that experience, I think I realized that every good thing I was experiencing, so whether it was like the poppies on the side of the road or the great Spanish wine or the serendipitous conversations I was having with people, were all this big, bold love sort of overwhelming me. And that was amazing. So I sort of, I was changed.
Earlier in the show with Stephen Jenkinson, we were making fun of people who are personal coaches and are under 40.
Well, good news, because I'm over 40.
Yes! Right there. No, that whole, you know, I'm a life coach, you know.
Yeah,
Bring me your mala beads.
Yeah, no. So my experience with coaching, I'll say, is it's really just a willingness to listen well to people and to ask open,
tough
questions, sometimes difficult questions, but trusting that the wisdom is within the other person. Mm-hmm. So it's not really telling anybody anything, but being a safe companion for them.
So I'm going to go through your list of things you do here.
Yeah.
Personal coaching.
Yeah.
Okay, I get that. Mm-hmm. Spiritual direction.
So I am studying to be a spiritual director right now. Which is very, very similar to coaching, actually.
I was going
to
say,
it's almost identical, except that a typical coaching conversation can be about absolutely anything, whereas spiritual direction is certainly
more focused
on your spirituality, and you're kind of like a midwife, really. Yeah, I know. It's a great analogy, though.
Do I get to cut the cord?
Okay, here's the boundary.
Well, midwives give birth to things.
No, they don't give birth. They witness the birth happening.
Yeah.
And they coach and they encourage.
Yeah. They help.
That's the trick. They create safety.
They're not the quarterback. They're a cheerleader.
They
yes. Good.
Push them out. Shove them out. Way out. Bill Cosby line. Should I reference him? Isn't yoga from Satan?
Not in my understanding, but I know that there are many Christians who might think that.
Because anybody that invented something that isn't part of the Christian tribe means that whatever they believe in influences what they created. And so people who believe things that aren't Jesus-y created yoga, so therefore it's evil.
Yeah. I don't think that.
Okay. Because if you took that same line of thinking, right, and applied it to so many other things, you know, we shouldn't be driving cars, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
But the spiritual practices in this position was designed to do that, and it was a way to worship. Okay, fine. Maybe somebody designed it as a way to worship the elephant head god. But as far as I'm concerned right
Ganesh.
Now, I don't believe in Ganesh. I don't know. It's just not my – I'm not going that direction.
Right.
All I know is that this really helps my quads, and it's helping me get a little bit centered and just – you know, Jesus was a little bit about, dude, stop thinking about yesterday. That puppy's gone, and you're not guaranteed tomorrow, so get your face in the now.
Yeah. No, the truth is there's a lot of misconceptions, I think, about yoga. And so in my training that I did – it was news to me that yoga predates Hinduism, and the masters of yoga are never intended it to be a religion. So certainly there's deep, deep connections to Hinduism because it was created in India. Mm. My personal experience is that when I get more in tune with my body, I am able to get more in tune with the spirit of God in my life.
So if your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit, maybe one of the ways of turning on the air conditioning in the temple so you can pay freaking attention is by doing some yoga.
Sure, like we
Ooh, I like that. I'm staying with that
we
one
meet,
too.
We connect our bodies to our emotions all of the time, right?
Right,
it's like
yeah.
the hair stands up on the back of my head, and you know, it's fear.
Really? You got to bring that up?
nice.
Jeez.
Or the, you know, rumbling in my stomach when I'm nervous. We have physical experiences that connect us to our emotional and spiritual life. So the more in tune I am with my body, the better I am to actually like listen to the nudge of the spirit. And that's been my experience.
Yeah.
And plus it's just, it feels great.
Pilgrimage. We've talked about that.
Yes.
But is it just Camino or
no.
do you do pilgrimage? Like where else? Where's another pilgrimage?
Well, no.
What, do you go walk to the original Krispy Kreme donuts?
Weber's.
So, yeah, that would be a good
11,
one. That's
all
right.
the way there.
So pilgrimage is essentially an outward journey, an outward expression of an inward journey. So you can do pilgrimage anywhere, truly, and it can be long or it can be short. So I like the idea of providing opportunities for people to do that. So I'm actually doing a local pilgrimage on the Ellora Cataract Trail this summer.
That's right by my farm.
Yeah.
My farm.
It's 50.
Rephrase that.
It's 50K.
Yeah.
So we're going to do, you know, Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday.
So stop, do it overnight at the farm.
Well, we've already got it. Everyone's doing their own overnight.
Oh, they got great
chat
water
later.
There.
Yeah, we got really good water.
Stop
by
water.
For some Connecticut water at the
Done.
Farm.
Done.
See how I did that, Drew.
So yeah, so I am taking a group to Spain in this summer, and I am doing a pilgrimage in July on the Ellora Cataract Trail for a group.
There's an intern in here who was talking to me about possibly doing the Camino. And what recommendation do you have to somebody that's considering the Camino? Top two recommendations. Before they, as they're considering the Camino.
Don't overplan. Just let your Camino unfold as it should be.
Excellent.
Yes.
Yeah, that's top advice
top
right there.
Top advice.
Yeah.
Yep.
Don't bring a Bible. It weighs too much.
No, I wouldn't say that. I would say bring what you need to bring.
Digital Bible.
Good shoes.
So that would be the number one. And number two would be don't underplan processing your inner Camino. By that I mean you're going to spend a lot of money, a lot of time, and a lot of detail on the logistics of your outer Camino. What gear, what boots, what socks, how to get there, what plane, what train. Spend as much or more time on your inner Camino.
And if you are sitting there going, oh, I only have this much time to do the Camino, don't do the Camino.
No, I wouldn't say that.
I would. If you rush the Camino,
fight.
No, why would you?
No,
you don't want anybody rushing the Camino. The point is not to go from A to Z and have it done in a certain time so you can get back to work.
Oh, no, I would agree with that. But
yeah.
What I heard you say is, like, if you only have a week, then you shouldn't do it. You should wait until you can do the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. I still don't know how I feel about that.
So I think it
You can do it in parts and you'll have the same experience?
You'll have your experience.
Oh, that's so nice.
And here's the thing, Drew. It's like we, you know, I feel like it's kind of snobby for us to be like, You know, unless you have 35 days and want to judge all people, the though. Money in the world. No, you shouldn't.
We're not like that.
No, because I think a Camino experience can be really impactful, even if it's shorter.
There are two more things on the list before we end our interview.
Great.
I need to bring them up.
Okay.
They are workshops and mm-hmm. retreats.
Yes.
Okay. Both of those I'm not a fan of.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, but I want to just pull this apart. Krista Hesselink is in the studio with us. She's the founder of Soul Play, Slow Down, Wake Up, and Love Well. I told Krista that she wanted to know, well, what are we going to talk about? I said, don't worry about it. That's fine. We got it. It's all good. But this is the part I maybe you should have prepared for, because I'm not sure. I'm not sure how you're going to handle this.
Okay.
If I never went to another workshop or retreat again, mm-hmm. I'd be fine. Great. Because I'm way too ADD to sit in a retreat and do what, and I'm a four, right? So I don't mm-hmm. want to do what everyone else is mm-hmm. doing. Mm-hmm. Spoiled little punk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And workshops, man, there are very few workshop leaders that deserve the title. Mm-hmm. They're doing a workshop simply because they're not as good as the plenary speaker. You know, mm-hmm. we need to fit them into our list. So let's do a breakout session with such and such or whatever. It's just, oh, man. So help me get excited about your workshops and your retreats. She's going to go, no.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm not here to convince you to come to one of my workshops. No, but not everyone's wired like you. So there will be some people who would be really interested in coming to my workshops.
Right. But I would go to one of yours because I know you. Yeah. I like you. And
yeah.
I trust you.
Okay. Well, let me explain some of the workshops I'm doing.
Go.
At the end of the month, I'm doing something called Soul Goals. So it is a four-hour afternoon workshop that helps people. Really, honestly, it's about giving people space. So whether you call it a workshop or retreat, it's just, what would it be like for you to take some time out to be instead of do?
Right.
To have some quiet instead of some noise. So turn the volume up on silence, turn the volume down on all the crazy. Mm. And be asked some really probing questions that get to the heart of maybe what your soul is trying to say to you. I'm not trying to solve the world's problems here for people. I'm really just trying to give people space to do that. So things like, what would it be like to hold questions that you have instead of rushing to answers or dismissing them entirely? Like, how valuable is that?
See, I'm not just trying to make your thing sound better. I can feel a decompression happening as you're verbalizing this.
Yeah, that's what happens. So I wish that – so that's one of the things I'm doing. And I still have four spots left, so you're more than welcome to come.
Where is this? When is this?
This is in Burlington on the last Sunday of the month, just north of Burlington, at a little studio called Think Spot. Okay. It's great. Anyways, so that's one workshop. There's other retreats that I'm looking forward to planning that have lots to do with silence. So again – what does it mean to, like, be instead of do and give yourself, like, the experience of just going inside? Yeah. And it's not for everybody. And
No, I disagree. I realize that that you can't convince everyone to come.
Sure.
But it is for everybody.
Oh,
silence?
Yeah. Sure,
dude,
certainly.
For me to shut up for 3 months.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Was maybe the best decision ever.
Uh-huh.
And prove God's existence.
What?
Yeah, no, absolutely. If I could convince everybody, I think that would be brilliant. But I really am. I think that the ability to slow down is really to the degree that we're all able to wake up, and we're kind of asleep and sleepwalking and numb and so I like the idea of providing opportunities for people to slow down so that they can wake up. And then the degree that we wake up is to the degree that we love well, truly.
Mm-hmm. How about ayahuasca?
Never tried it.
I hear it can be pretty nasty on you.
I don't know how to say this. So one of the most dangerous people, I think, in the world are counselors, period. And there are very few I would actually entrust my life with.
Sure.
And I feel the same way about people who run spiritual retreats and workshops mm-hmm. and pilgrimages and yoga stuff and spiritual direction and personal coaching. And the best Enneagram type to be doing this is actually a two.
Yeah.
Because it comes from that authentic desire to serve mm-hmm. as opposed to agenda or formula or recipes or image yeah. or success or drama for. you know, I just, I'm totally behind you on
Thank
this.
Thank you.
This is why I wanted to have you on the show.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah. I mean, I'm not perfect. And
stop it.
No, I'm just saying.
Everyone knows that.
Yeah, okay, good.
I'm not perfect.
Yeah, but I thank you. I will accept that. I'll receive it. Thank you.
Can I ask a question just quickly?
Sure.
We're almost out of time, Tim.
I know. We can't do it anyways, just so you know. We need – there, I'll shut up. I literally have to start it now.
Okay, well, that's what I said.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, we're like an old married couple. Yeah. Honestly, we've been together. We've known each other since we were 13.
Here.
So
that's
Tim was about to ask.
Yeah, thank you very much. Listen, Krista Hesselink is who's been in the studio chatting with us. Meathead. She's the founder of Soul Play. Slow down, wake up, love. Well, the website is soulplay.ca. Hey, if you missed any of today's show, just follow us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all that stuff, and we'll let you know when all the interviews from today are loaded onto iTunes, SoundCloud, iHeartMedia, and the rest, and our website, drewmarshall.ca. Thank you for tuning in today. It was lovely to chat with each and every one of you. That makes no sense. I didn't talk to you. I guess I did talk to you. It wasn't a conversation, though. Should I shut up? Okay. Bye. People ask me how